So what does that mean? If we're saying
that we get that you should return it to the potter, then number one, the privilege would be that having given it to the potter
in between doesn't topple it, which is like we were saying before, you're using him as a shelf. And number two, we're saying that this that he just handed to him is not called halacha. Because if you were to argue it's halacha, then why does he have to just return it back to where it came from? Let the kosher kohen walk over closer to the mezbeach, as Rashi explains. So you have the kosher kohen receive the blood over here. He handed it to the zohar standing next to him. Now, closer to the mezbeach. If you're going to tell me that halacha just with the hand is considered halacha, then halacha has already been accomplished. So now we don't have to say the Zohar has to hand it back to the Kohen where he received it from. The Kohen should be able to walk around closer to the Mizbeach. The Zohar can then hand him it over there, and then we're good. The fact that we're saying that he has to return it to him implies that the fact that he has to return it to him implies, l'chora, that halacha hasn't been done yet, and therefore the Kohen has to go and do halacha.
If you could say that if it was a kosher Kohen, then it would have been considered halacha. The fact that it's not...
But there was a kosher Kohen, who does it, that's the thing. The kosher Kohen handed it to him. If we call handing halacha, then halacha has already been accomplished.
Not necessarily, because give it and receive it.
No, that's not like Shabbat between Yakido and Hanafa. No, of course not. No, the Bash does not.
It's just giving.
It's as long as it's being carried along, it doesn't matter. You're using the Zohar as a shelf a moment, but still, you should be able to take it from him and continue. Yeah. Okay. Ema yachter akosher v'yikabla. No, not necessarily, because maybe what the Mishnah means is not that the Zohar has to return it to the Kohen where he was standing. It means the Kohen has to take it back. It means he has to actually pick it up and take it from the other guy's hand, because the other guy, again, was acting like an itzavah, like a shelf. In other words, so therefore, maybe the original halacha was valid, and then fine, it means that a kosher comes from the other side, from the side closest to the mezbeach, and takes it from him. So therefore, halacha, the original halacha was already good. So again, we're going to go back because the first kohen was right. Okay. Ishmael. So now we have a discussion about this. Omar Ula Omar Amichnan. Halacha shalay b'regel lo shma halacha. Halacha without the foot is not called halacha. In other words, therefore, on the one hand, if it was the only thing that was done, then it'll be possible because no halacha was done. On the other hand, it means that if a regular halacha was being done by foot and an addition is being done on halacha by hand, then the hand part, you can't possible the carbon doing it. You can't be in the foot. You can't make a pig, or you can't make a chalo b'shma or whatever.
Even when it's transferred by
so even no. So therefore, the point. So that's the point. So therefore, so if halacha was done shalo b'regel, that's not called halacha.
Right.
So that's it. So now, another discussion on that topic, we have to ask, Efshar l'takuna or lo efshar l'takuna? Okay, but now we have another question then. Okay, so then you need to do that, and then you need to go home because you have school tomorrow. Okay, so Efshar l'takuna or lo efshar l'takuna? So anyone who wants to sit in on the share, let's say, okay. Efshar l'takuna, are you able to fix it up? In other words, if you have, let's say, so halacha was done improperly. So let's say, for example, again, halacha was done only with the hand. Are you able to fix it up? Are you able to return it to where it was originally and then start walking with the foot or not? And a similar question, what if a zohar did it? What if a zohar did a halacha? Are you able to have him return it to where it was and start all over again or not? Once it's done with stool, then it's no good. Tashma, come, we'll prove from this Mishnah again that we just quoted. Kibbal akosher v'nasan l'apostol yachter l'kosher. We said if the kosher kohen received the blood and he handed the basin to the apostle, we said yachter l'kosher. We said he returns it to the kosher, which sounds like it means that we can fix it up. The fact that it is handled by the apostle doesn't necessarily topple it forever. It can still be fixed up. And furthermore, unigam yachter on the face of it means that it sounds like it means that the fossil gives it to the kosher. Unihi nami the yachter akosher yikablanu. Or even if you want to explain it like we just explained it, that it means that the kosher comes and takes it and then takes it from him. The kosher standing closer to them as they takes it from him. But still, if you were going to argue that a halacha, once it was done with soul, is already possible, if still Allah, then already you would have to argue that it was made possible by the first one's halacha, because the first one was done with his arms only, with his hands only, and we said that's not a valid halacha. If you were going to say that at that point it can't be undone, then the original kohen would have to come back to the one where the second kohen would have to come back to where the original one was and take it back there. The fact that we're saying yachra kosher lihablanu without specifying that he has to be closer to the mizbeach, without specifying he has to be back in the original spot, implies he can even be closer to the mizbeach, and it's okay if some of the halacha was done shaloi bevego, which didn't count as halacha, as we just said, it can still be fixed up by doing the rest of it with halacha, with walking. Okay, the Gemara says not necessarily, because we stop at the koyi zor gavoi. You're thinking that the scenario over here is that the first koyin was standing far away from the mizbeach, the zor was standing closer, and then so you're saying that the blood made part of its way to the mizbeach by being passed to a zor. No, Lloyd, the koyi zor baroi. No, you could be talking about a scenario where the zor was standing further away from the mizbeach. So that's not considered halacha. What is halacha is bringing it closer to the mizbeach. So therefore, the original thing that the kohen takes it and hands it to
the kohen handed it away from the mizbeach.
Exactly.
To
the exactly. So that for sure. That for sure cannot be considered halacha. So we could argue it's true that halacha without the foot is not considered halacha, as we just said. However, if the kohen were to hand it to a zur, nevertheless, that might be enough to passel it, not even so much because he's a zur, but because it was halacha shaloi b'rego, because he brought it closer to the mizbeach using his hands rather than using his feet. As opposed to if he's bringing it further away from the mizbeach, that's not called halacha at all. So then sure, another kohen can take it from the zur and start bringing it forward towards the mizbeach. So you don't have a proof one way or the other. Ishma, so we have a machlokes about this. Amar Ola Amar Rabbi Yechanan, halacha shaloi b'rego p'sula. Not really machlokes, we have a discussion about this. Amar Ola Amar Rabbi Yechanan, halacha shaloi b'rego p'sula. We just said that Ola said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan that halacha not done with the foot is possible, implying alma le'epshel takuna, which implies from the way he's saying it that it means that there's no way of fixing it up. Once we say, he didn't just use it, before he used it, so it's a slightly different thing. Before he used the expression, halacha shaloi b'rego lo shma halacha, which sounds like it means, in other words, what the Gemara calls in other places, loy maila v'loy mori, that moving it just with the hand is neither here nor there. It doesn't help and it doesn't harm. Now we have a second lashon that Ula is saying in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, halacha shaloi b'rego is psula. And psula implies it can't be fixed up after the fact. So if you were to do halacha shaloi b'rego, you're just passing it along. Too late. It's possible and can't be fixed.
It has to be decided.
Yes. And the carbon is possible. Right. Not a braisa, a statement of Ula, but yeah. But wait. Eisvei Rav Nachman Ula, but Rav Nachman asks Ula, how can you say that halacha shaloi b'rego was enough to passel it and it can't be fixed up? We learn in a Mishnah later on, Nishbach Menach Kli Alaritzva V'Osvay, if the blood, after it was caught in the basin, it spilled on the floor, and you gathered up the blood off the floor, then it's still kosher, and you can still sprinkle it on the mizbeach, as opposed to the blood, and the korban as a whole. As opposed to, we're going to talk about the case over there, if the blood just gushed from the neck onto the floor, then it's possible, then it's too late. Yeah.
From the keli to the floor,
then it's okay, V'Osvay, and you gathered it up kosher. So now the point is that the point is that the pashtus, if it lands on the floor, some of it or all of it even is going to be spreading in the direction of the mizbeach, and the Mishnah does not specify that only what spread away from the mizbeach is kosher. Now there you have halacha shalom. Okay, he's standing over here. He spills the blood. It splatters in all directions.
Right.
Some of it goes closer to the mizbeach. Now we're not saying, now remember, what lands closer to the mizbeach is halacha shaloi b'yach, is halacha shaloi b'rego, rather. He didn't do it with his foot. So if we're going to argue that it's possible and it can't be undone, then the Mishnah should be specifying that only the blood that landed further away from the mizbeach is kosher, because then that's not considered halacha, as we just said. Whereas anything that landed closer to the mizbeach had halacha done with it shaloi b'rego and was going to be possible, but it's not saying that.
It's saying what?
It's just saying generically that you gather up the blood and it's kosher. Why doesn't matter what direction it landed in? The answer is
moving forward or backwards.
Yeah. The answer is okay, but you have to answer that the Mishnah would be talking about a case where when it spilled in the direction away from the mizbeach. Okay, so the question is, and how does that work? Does it only dabka splash and then spill in the direction away from the mizbeach, not towards it? It's a liquid, after all. It spreads in all directions. So therefore, the answer is, b'makom midroi, number one, you could answer that we're talking about, yes, that the floor is slanted away from the mizbeach. the both them of a guma. A second possibility is that the blood may have landed on a hole in the floor, so therefore it doesn't spread in all directions. The both them of a smicha, or a third possibility, you could talk about maybe it's talking about a case where the blood is exceptionally thick. The blood is exceptionally, let's say, for example, I mean, in general, well, not exceptionally thick. Well, in other words, the point is it's not quite congealed yet, but it's on the way. Now, because when you get down to it, I mean, usually the thing was you would check the carbon and then you would immediately go and sprinkle the blood. But in principle, it didn't have to be. You actually have cases on your kipper, for example, where they would take the blood and stir it to prevent it from congealing. But let's say they didn't. Let's say for whatever reason, somebody caught the blood in the mizrach and he didn't have a chance yet to go and put it on the mizrach. So he's holding it over there meanwhile. Maybe there's too much of a crowd around the mizrach, whatever it is exactly. So by the time he gets there, by the time he's ready to do the halacha, it's already starting to congeal. And then if he spills it, it may be thick enough already. It may be semi-congealed already. It's still liquid enough to be validly sprinkled on the mizrach, but not thin enough liquid to be able to splatter in all directions. So therefore, it could end up going dafka away from the mizrach. The question is, Kohani. Okay, but is the Mishnah going to tell us, is going to bother telling us an entire statement that it's kosher if he gathered it up on the floor and only mean these kinds of rare cases? And look or not, the Mishnah is saying generically that it's kosher if he gathered it off the floor, so it shouldn't matter. But and furthermore, you have another point. You have another case where it talks about in the next paragraph, where it describes a case where the blood spilled on the floor directly from the neck, where it was never caught in a keli in the first place, and it says there that it's possible. If you're going to argue that it's a matter really of halacha, lichlag v'didei, then the Mishnah ought not to say generic. Then in that case, what we should say is like this: in the second parak, it says that if it's spilled from the neck directly, if it gushed directly from the neck onto the floor, then it's possible. In the third parak, when it mentions the case where it was caught in the keli, so later on in the third parak, when it talks about that, if you caught the blood on a keli and you said it's spilled on the ground, it's kosher, the Mishnah should be distinguishing within itself. Within that case, where it's spilled from the keli, there should be a distinction. When is it kosher? When you collected it from the floor, only when it's spilled outward, away from the mizbeach. But if it came closer to the mizbeach, then possible, because then you have halacha shalei beregel. So that's a contradiction. So that's it. So therefore, in other words, we don't accept what Ula is saying, that halacha shalei beregel is psula. We do accept the first statement, loy shma halacha. Then we should have said so, in the case where it spills in the keli. So therefore, so that's it. So we don't say that halacha shalei beregel is psula and it can't be undone. We do say that it's loy shma halacha, that it's not considered halacha, either l'kula or l'chumra. So again, it's nothing. It means, in other words, again, that it means that some halacha with the foot has to be done at some point, otherwise the carbon is fossil. On the other hand, while halacha is being done with the hand, if he has machshavas zman or what have you, then it won't make the carbon fossil, because that's not considered part of the halacha. Halacha, by definition, means only walking with the feet. It can mean shuffling the feet a little bit, like we said before, but it still has to be, there has to be a movement of the feet towards the mizrach.
And short of that,
if he has a machshava any other time other than when he's moving his feet, then it's not possible, right? Okay. Fine.
Now, moving his feet without moving his body is also called halacha? Because it doesn't, I'm saying it clearly.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Beregel. Halacha shalai beregel or beregel. As long as he's moving his
feet,
that's what we're talking about. So as long as he's moving his feet closer to the mizrach.
Without moving his body.
No, moving his feet and shuffling them forward. Eventually, when he shuffles his feet enough, then his body is going to move, right?
No.
Okay, fine.
If he shuffles his feet.
No. It doesn't mean not he shuffles a foot and then puts it back. He shuffles one foot forward and then another foot forward.
Well, that's moving.
Okay, so
that's
moving slowly.
That's moving.
Okay, but it's moving slowly, in other words, is the point.
Okay.
But that's enough. In other words, he's basically standing in the same place, but he's moved a tiny bit forward.
Okay.
Fine. Itmar. So now we have a further discussion on this point. Halacha shalai beregel machlokas Reb Shimon Rabbanan. This question about when halacha is done without the feet is actually machlokas between Reb Shimon and Rabbanan.
Why do we have this machlokas? We just said it's not done beregel, it's not halacha.
We said Ula said that halacha shalai beregel lo shma halacha. That can be according to the Chachamim. Reb Shimon doesn't have to agree with that. Again, Reb Shimon.
No, Reb Shimon doesn't agree with
we don't know for sure, actually, that we're going to discuss that now. And actually, the Achronim have a very difficult time with this Gemara for a number of reasons, partly based on the terminology and partly based on we've already discussed this issue, so why are we bringing it up again? So wait. Okay. So, let's first go how Rashi is doing it, which is that in our Mishnah, Rav Shimon again had said that Halacha is not a time when the korban can be possible because you can do without halacha. So therefore, evidently he would hold that halacha shalai b'regel is not considered halacha. So but halacha rabbi, when you're talking about a big halacha, namely when you're talking about a big halacha where you shift it far away from the mizbeach and you actually have to walk it over to kolam le'tzligid psula, then everybody would agree that that's a time when the korban could become possible because then of necessity you do have to walk it over. The machlokas would be rather as far as the small halacha. The Rashi learns that that halacha rabsi means walking with the feet, and halacha zutrasi means just moving with his hands. So therefore, so what we're saying in the Gemara over here is that when it comes to halacha rabsi, when it comes to walking, if it needs to be walked, then everybody would agree that's a time when it can become possible, because you have to walk it, you did shift it far away from the mizbeach. The machlokas would be, as far as the halacha zutrasi, is that considered halacha or not? Again, the Reb Shimon, we're saying that Reb Shimon would say that it's kosher.
What is it exactly?
Right. Halacha zutrasi, of course. Halacha zutrasi means a small halacha. So according to Rashi, it would mean that you're just moving it with your hands. Again, Rav Shimon had said...
What about if you move your heels?
Heels is feet. Come on, we're talking about over here moving...
Is he moving on your heels?
Is he moving his feet? Is he moving in the direction of the Mizbeach or not? His feet are moving towards the Mizbeach. That's what we discussed before. But now we're talking about a new topic, which is Halacha Rabsi versus Halacha Zutrasi. Namely, again, Halacha Rabsi, according to Rashi, would be where he actually walked it over. Then we would say everybody agrees that it's possible if he had a machshava doing it. As opposed to Halacha Zutrasi, Rav Shimon would say that it's kosher, and the Chachamim would still say that it's possible. There's a number of other explanations that the Achronim have about Halacha Rabsi and Halacha Zutrasi, again, for a number of reasons, one of them being, why are you using new terminology? Call it Halacha B'regel and call it Halacha Shalai B'regel, like we said before. So you have a variety of explanations. One of them is that it depends whether we're talking, for example, one possibility the Shita Mekubetzes talks about is that Halacha Rabsi would be where you actually shefted it far away from the mizbeach, and therefore so halacha rabsi would be where you're far enough away from the mizbeach that you wouldn't be able to do the zrika without walking. So it's similar to Rashi, but a little bit different. So halacha rabsi would both halacha rabsi and halacha zutrasi, according to the Shita Mekubetzes, do involve walking. The difference is halacha rabsi is where you're so far away that of necessity you have to walk. Halacha zutrasi is, you're close enough, you could have done the zrika just by hand without moving your feet. However, you chose to walk. So that would be another explanation. And you have other explanations also that halacha rabsi, that both of them involve movements of the hands, but one of them is a large movement and the other one is a small movement. Again, one is where you're far away enough from the mizbeach, that you have to actually throw it versus you're closer and therefore you just have to do it gently, whatever. Okay. All right. Okay, so when they said this, this distinction between rabsi and zutrasi, between large and small, that you're telling me that Rav Shimon is saying that Rav Shimon is saying it's kosher only when it comes to halacha zutrasi, because he would hold that's not an avoda. Machaku aleibem arava. They laughed at that in Eretz Yisrael, and the Gemara mentions in Sanhedrin that Rav Yosi ben Chanina objected to it and said that it we can't possibly learn that way. Elo chafas the psula b'machshava l'Rav Shimon heichim ashkachas. We know you can have a case where you have a chassas, you have a chassas of a bird, and we're going to learn later on in the Masechta that you have two avoidas in it, where you have one or two avoidas in it, unlike the regular four. You only have two avoidas in it, where machshavas can passel. One of them is hazah, one of them is after you did the malika, you take the body of the bird itself and squeeze it, and the blood squishes out onto the wall of the mizbeach. And we know that machshava can passel during that. So you have to ask, if Rav Shimon, according to Rav Shimon, how would you have a scenario where you're able to have a machshava during that avodah that would passel it? If he has machshava before the blood comes out, then it's not counted, it doesn't count as anything, because that's an example of halacha zutrasi, and you're saying, according to Rav Shimon, halacha zutrasi, it's okay, machshava can't passel. And if he has the machshava after the blood came out, it's too late. It's abidulei mitzvah. The mitzvah has already been done. It's already a done deal, and no machshava can pass it.
So if you
say that Rav Shimon holds halacha zutrasi is a valid avodah, and therefore machshava can pass it, then fine. As he's taking a hold of the body of the bird and ready to shrit, at that point, if he has machshava, then he'll pass it. But if you tell me that halacha zutrasi, that a halacha without feet is not considered a halacha according to Rav Shimon, therefore it can't passel it, then you can't passel at that point. You can't passel it after the blood already landed on the mizbeach. So when are you having the machshava to passel it? And we know that the fact is, according to Rav Shimon, according to everybody, a machshava during that point can passel it. Incidentally, actually, Rav Yosef Engel brings up an interesting point. He says, why don't we say, for example, that he had the machshava, the tzoch kledibur of the shritzing. And he says an interesting idea. Maybe Tzedek Dibur applies only outside of this mitzvah, but not in it. He says a couple of interesting things in that regard. First of all, he says the same way as the Gemara mentions elsewhere, that when it comes to Avodah Zarah, there's no such thing as Tzedek Dibur.
Who says that?
The Gemara.
The Dibur doesn't mean anything. We never mention them.
Okay, so here's what Rabbi Yosef Engel says. First of all, he says, we find by Avodah Zarah that Tzedek Dibur doesn't count. In other words, in the sense, it doesn't. We learned in Sanhedrin, for example, that if a person says for example, I believe in the Sabbath Zara, it's my God, even if he changes his mind, says to the Dibur, and says, never mind, it's too late. We still execute him. So therefore, he says, to parallel or lahavdil, things in Sabbath Zara to a certain extent parallel things in the Beis Hamikdash, as we learned in Sabbath Zara. Therefore, by the same logic, in the Beis Hamikdash, Tosh Kedibur shouldn't work either. So even if it's Tosh Kedibur, it should still be counted as after the fact, which is what the Gemara is applying over here. That once
if you say under the Zara, it counts, doesn't it?
It doesn't count in the sense that you don't say that he can change his mind, Tosh Kedibur, and it works. It doesn't work. It's already considered.
If he cannot change his mind, then it means
that Tosh Kedibur is still considered Lacha Kedibur. It's considered once the statement was said already, Keliata, then it's too late. What happens to Tosh Kedibur after that has no effect. The same logic over here, we would say that once he sprinkled the blood and it landed on the mizbeach, even if Tosh Kedibur of that, he says, I'm doing a Shalom Lishma, it wouldn't matter.
According to that.
Yes, according to that. That's one thing.
He says, Tosh Kedibur didn't
happen. No, it means the statement of Tosh Kedibur after an action. But he says an interesting other verse on it also. He says, the Gemara mentions in a few places that when it comes to, we know we're after a bracha, we actually hear somebody say bracha, we say amen. In the Mishnah, they didn't. They would say, baruch shem kvod machasel avod. Now, why is that? He says, based on this idea. Outside the Mishnah, Tosh Kedibur is considered but still connected. Therefore, when we answer amen, Tosh Kedibur of a bracha, fine, we're joining ourselves together with the bracha. In the Mishnah, where that doesn't work, it would have to be, they can't just say amen, they have to say a whole bracha of their own, which is by saying, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, which constitutes a bracha, or Baruch Hashem, the case, Yom, and Olam, Ada, Olam, which constitutes a bracha of itself.
And
that's another idea that connects with this idea that in the Mishnah, Tosh Kedibur doesn't count. Okay. Anyway, so getting back to the Gemara. So that's why they laughed at this in Eretz Yisrael, because how could you say, according to Rav Shimon, halacha zutrasi doesn't count? According to him, then, how is a chassas alif going to become possible during the mitzri, during the squeezing? The answer is, the Gemara says, my kosher, so why is that so hard to understand? Maybe you could say, during that half a second, from when the blood leaves the neck until it lands on the wall of the mizbeach, during that time, there's another fraction of a second over there where you're able to say to have a machshava or to say something. And we know the abominator of Yirmiyah and Ramzera, we see that such a thing is possible because and we know that it can be asked about because we have a similar idea that Yirmiyah asks about Ramzera, Hoya asks Ramzera, Hoya Mazeh, if a Kohen was sprinkling the blood on the Mazeh, the Nikta al Yodesh al Mazeh actually Yir Damla Abra Mazeh, and then the hand, or according to Rashi, any other body part of the Kohen was chopped off before the blood landed on the Mazeh, so in that fraction of a second, he became a Balmum, Mahu, what would be the bid? Is the Zrika kosher or is it not? Because now he's a Balmum by the time it reaches the Mazeh. It's a, yeah, it's even less than Tashkid Ibn. But Omalay Stullah. And Rav Zera says, in fact, the Zrika would be possible. My time of it, he's of a Nasa Bainan. Because the Pasuk says that he has to sprinkle and he should place, implying that when it's placed, when it lands on the Mazeh, he still has to be an intact Koyan and not be a Balmum. So that now you don't have that. So we see that things could happen during that fraction of a second between the Zrika and it landing on the Mazeh, that's another, there could have to happen something that topples the carbon. By the same logic, there could happen something over here during the Chafasoid that topples it during that fraction of a second. So you could still say, in other words, that a coin of Shin and the actual squeezing itself, which is Halacha, is not yet a time that can be possible because it's only Halacha's literacy. But during that fraction of a second, when the blood comes out of the neck until it actually splashes on the Mazeh, during that time, there's time to make it piggle or what have you.
Chachamim would argue with that?
We're talking according to Reb Shimon. According to the Chachamim were saying hold that Halacha Zutrasi is Halacha anyway, so of course they hold it. So of course they hold it possible during the squeezing. Okay.
We're trying to demonstrate
that. According to Reb Shimon, we're talking about.
Right.
Yeah. However, he also Rapopov Rav Huna Breder Risho Mebevav, when Rapopov and Rav Huna Breder Risho came back from Yeshiva, Amri, they said, Hainu Chukha, the laughter was as follows. I'll explain to you why Mechaku B'Marav. Fine, you're right. The question about Chafas Ha'oyis is not a question because we can find a way to make it work during that fraction of a second. But here's why Rav Yosef Rav Chanina was laughing at it. You're saying, oh, Halacha Rabsi Leitzvi. Are you telling me that the Chachamim and Rav Shimon do not argue about Halacha Rabsi, about the actual walking over to the Mazeh? In our Mishnah, that's the actual machlok that they're arguing on. Is Rav Shimon says that Halacha Rapsi is not always necessary. In our Mishnah, Rav Shimon has said that Halacha is not a case where the korban can be tasseled because Shreichet Besadam is Be'ach Vizorit, because you don't have to walk at all. So therefore, of course, they're arguing that Halacha Rapsi. No, of course not, but he's using the point. He's saying that Halacha is not necessary because you can check next to the Mazeh. But obviously, the crux of their machlokas is whether if you walked, even though it wouldn't have technically been necessary because you could have shechted next to the Mazeh, whether you can topple the korban during that time or not.
So
according to Rav Shimon, it doesn't matter whether you shechted closer or further away from the Mazeh. You could have shechted next to the Mazeh and not needed halacha b'regel at all. And therefore, he says that doesn't count. So obviously, that's what they're arguing about. El or no?
Why do you say it's halacha rapsi? They're arguing, but it's more halacha.
We thought, no, that's the point. We were saying that they aren't arguing on halacha rapsi. They both agree that it will pass over the carbon if he has a machrava. The machlokas would be on halacha zutrasi. Now, though, because of this question, El or no? You're right. We have to flip it around. But halacha zutrasi kolamale pligi delight pasla. Just the opposite. When it comes to halacha zutrasi, when it comes to the small halacha, again, which means either just moving it with his hand, or it means the little bit of walking that he's doing, even though he didn't have to because he was right next to the Mazeah, etc. The kolamale pligi delight pasla. Then everybody would agree that it doesn't pasla. And I go to
say you can chant.
Because you could have shed, and even, right, and even the Chachamim would say that, that it's fine, you could shed next to the Mazeh, and therefore, but also the Chachamim would say, like we said before, Halacha Shalei B'Regel is not Halacha, therefore the moving it with the hand is not considered Halacha anyway, so that Halacha Zutrasi wouldn't tackle it. Here, Hagoy means, again, one possibility is it means moving it with his hands rather than with his feet. That's how Rashi seems to learn. Mm-hmm. Again, the Shittim Mokubetis would understand that means walking where you didn't actually have to. Yeah.
So the Chachamim would agree with that?
That's what we're saying. As we said before, all we're saying is going to the Chachamim, yeah.
So why would we say then they could not be an Halacha Zutrasi?
No, so the Chachamim would say there can be a Halacha Zutrasi where you're actually walking. There can in addition be a Halacha Zutrasi. What do you mean in addition? You walk and then you move it further with your hands. See, as long as you walked a little bit, we said it's kosher.
Okay, yeah. Both together.
Yes, But also, on top of that, though, Hagoyet Habach brings a different gear over here to Pasla, that maybe according to this last Lashon, we would say that both Reb Shimon and the Chachamim would say that Halacha Zutrasi, it can be Pasla during it.
It can?
It can. Yeah. he pleaded by halacha rabbi. Rather, the machlokas would be during the larger halacha, during the walking, where Rav Shimon would say it can't be possible because it's not essential. And the chacham would say that it doesn't matter whether it's essential or not. The fact is, you're walking it, and therefore you're able to possible it during that time. Okay. All right. Okay, here's another case.
So we don't.
So we have two different lashonas of what the machlokas would be. The halacha is like the chacham anyway. The halacha is, and the Rambam passed in the point to what we said before, that halacha shalai b'regel lo shma halacha, that halacha without the feet is not halacha, and therefore necessarily you have to walk it with your feet. So the Rambam actually doesn't spell out what the din would be doing with the halacha zutra, and in fact that's part of the reason why the Mishnah Lamelech has a very long discussion over there exactly what halacha rabba and halacha zutra is. So he brings up a couple of possibilities. One of them is that yeah, maybe the Rambam would agree with Rashi that halacha zutra means moving it with the hands. Since we established that only halacha with the feet is considered halacha, then yeah, anything he does while he's moving it with his hands wouldn't count. That's one possibility the Mishnah Lamelech brings up, and then he discusses a few other possibilities of what halacha rabbi and halacha zutra say. And like I say, it's a short piece, but it's a bit complicated. Yeah. All right.
We're not agreeing on the definition
here. Right. Yeah. Okay. Onward. Halicha zor v'hazirei koyin. What about here's a case? A zor walked it over closer to the mizbeach with his feet, let's say. Then a koyin brought it back to the original starting point. V'chaz of a halicha in, and the koyin did halacha. Does that work or not? So the sons of we had something similar. We asked before, are you able to fix it up? But there we were talking about when halacha was being done shaloi b'regel. Here we're talking about it being done b'regel by a zo. So bnei rabchia and rab yanai argue. Chad amak kosher, chad amak kosher. One says it'll be kosher because you started off from where it was supposed to be originally, and the other one says possible. Marstava Epshel Takona. So basically, yeah, it's similar to the Machlokas before, where one opinion holds you can fix it up, even though a Hiluch was done in a way that's possible.
What difference would it make? I mean, as long as you agree that with the hand it would be kosher.
No, never mind that. You were talking about the Zohar actually walked it with his hand. So if we say Epshel Takona, it means it's fine. As long as you start out from the original starting point, then it's fine. You undid what the Zohar did, therefore you're okay. Yeah. Or Marstava like Epshel Takona, whereas the other opinion holds there's no way of fixing it all. Of fixing it up, once the Zohar brought it any closer to the Mizeah, then it's possible. And that's how the Raman passed in the halacha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Why is that?
Because they were saying, loy Epshel Takona, we don't have a way of fixing it up.
But why?
We have two different opinions over here, and
why we can't one as opposed to the other?
That's a good question. I don't know on what basis the Raman chooses that. Rashi mentions briefly over here that according to you have with some of the other avoiders, we know that if the apostle did it, there's no undoing it, but the difference is, according to the opinion in Epshel Takona, the difference would be, halacha is different because you are able to undo it. Kabbalah, for example, if that's the point. Kabbalah, for example, as Zohar did the Kabbalah, there's no way of undoing it. It already got into the basin. As opposed to halacha, the one opinion argues you could undo it. The other opinion would say that no, all four avodas are on the same level.
My question is, why we choose one?
Because of the mashdas, because we say that sounds more logical to say that all the avodas are the same thing. The same way as the other ones we said, you can't undo, so therefore this one
also.
Yeah.
But the other ones you can undo it.
Okay, but nevertheless.
No way to
understood, but nevertheless, and actually, it actually mentioned even with Kabbalah, there is, for example, if the possible person did not receive all the blood in the basin, if the kosher still has a chance to receive some of the blood, then it will actually be kosher. No. Okay.
All right.
So that's that one thing. Okay. Another case. Halicha koyin v'chziroi v'choz of halicha zor. How about another case? Suppose the koyin walked it closer to the mizbeach, then he walked backwards away from the mizbeach, and then a zor went and took it closer to the mizbeach. So what would be the din there? No, well, wait. Amar Rav Shimi Bar Ashi. So Rav Shimi Bar Ashi says, no, the divrei ha-mashu is possible, divrei ha-posel mashu. Here it'll be exactly the other way around as the previous machlokes. The opinion before that said that it's kosher in the first case will say it's possible in this case because the Zohar actually brought it closer to the Mizbeach and that part wasn't undone. As opposed to according to the second opinion who says you go according to the first halacha, therefore he said it was enough. So over here, it'll be kosher because the first halacha was done by the kohen. Again, the kohen took it forward, then he brought it back, and then the zohar brought it forward. So if you say you go according to this last halacha, then the last halacha here was done by the zohar, therefore it'll be kosher. If you go according to the first halacha was done by the kohen. the Zohar is just repeating the same steps that the Kohen did.
Or you could say a third opinion is anything that goes forward.
Rava Omar, so Rava says, here is another way of looking at it. Afla divrei apostol possible. No, even according to the opinion that it was possible in the previous case, it will also be possible in this case. But both cases will be possible. Because my time is the hakara for Amtuya. Because the fact is it has to be brought closer.
That's
and therefore the fact that the Zohar is bringing it closer is considered significant, and that makes it possible.
Yeah.
And again, that's the
hakara.
So Rav Yirmiyah says to Rav Ashi that, yeah, this is what Rav Yirmiyah Medifi said, that actually, it's not so simple. This question about whether when it has to be brought closer, is that considered an avoda, where therefore Zohar will cancel it, is actually the subject of the machloikas of Rav Elazar and the Rabbanan in our mission.
Is that...
Rava is saying as a blanket statement, everybody will have to agree. No, he's saying that within the machlokas of Bnei Rav Chiya and Rav Yanai, where the Pashtus, they're both arguing within the Chachamim of our Mishnah, then we would say that even the one who said it's possible in the first case would also say it's possible in this case. But now we're saying, now Rav Yumi is pointing out to Rav Ashi that actually it may be the machlokas, that actually it seems to be the machlokas of Rav Elazar and the Rabbanan in our Mishnah. The Tanan, namely we learn in our Mishnah, Rav Elazar Omer, if a person is doing halacha in a place where in a case where he has to, namely he shifted the korban far away from the bayach, and therefore of necessity it has to be walked over, then closer, then machshava pistela, then the machshava can castle during that walking. But if it's a place where he didn't have to walk, in machshava pistela, then says Rabbi Elazar, machshava does not pass. For example, he shifted next to the mizbeach. So then machshava does not pass.
Even if he comes even closer to the mizbeach?
That's what we're saying, yeah. Because he could have just reached over and done it again. Ve'er Amar Rava, and Rava says, Hakol Moedim, Rava says, Amis Machloikas, what it means is like this. Everybody agrees, Kibla Bachot Vech Nitzibifnim, if he received the blood outside, meaning not literally outside the Azara, that would make it possible, meaning further away from the Mizbeach, Vech Nitzibifnim, and he walked it closer to the Mizbeach, Zeru Hiluch Shasarach Lahal. That is a hiluch which had to be done, and therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar, that would be the kind of case where it could become possible with a Machshava. On the other hand, if he caught the blood closer to the Mizbeach and then walked further away from the Mizbeach, that's walking that didn't have to be walked, and even the Chachamim would agree you can't pass all the korban during that walking.
Even if you had a mashal.
Yes. The machlokas would only be if he brought it closer and then brought it further away. Where you have, this is the point. So the Tanakhama would hold, after all, it has to be brought closer. In order to do the Zrika, ultimately you are going to have to be bringing it closer to the Mizbeach. Therefore, that bringing it closer the second time is still considered an avoda, and you can still pass a lot with the Machshava. Whereas Rav Elazar would hold, it's not an afiluch that was considered that it was necessary for that avoda, because you took it away for no reason, and the only reason you bring it back is because of that. So therefore, that's not considered a significant part of that avoda. So therefore,
why is that?
Because Rav Elazar would say, the fact is, it was close enough to the Mizbeach to do the Zirka, then you decided to walk it further away, so now when you reach way... The point is that it was closer to the Mizbeach. He brought it further away. But now when he's retracing the steps and coming closer to the Mizbeach, Rav Elazar is arguing that's still considered a Hiluch Shein Esaret. So he could have kept it here to begin with, and he wouldn't have needed to retrace the steps. Yeah. So this that we just said at the bottom of Amar Aleph, where Rava is saying that everybody would have to agree that if the Zohar brought it forward, that it should be possible, not necessarily. It may be the subject of the Smachalokas of Rav Elazar and the Chachamim. Abaya, however, Abaya says, I have a contradiction on that. We learn in a Braita. Rav Elazar says that when you're walking in a case where hiluch is needed, where you do need to walk it closer, machshava pistelos, the machshava is able to pass it during that time. Case that, what would be an example of that? Kibla v'chutz v'yichnitzilisnim. Again, if you, v'chutz means further away, still in the other, further away, v'yichnitzilisnim, and then you brought it closer. Zero hiluch shasarach l'halak, that is a hiluch that has to be walked. But if you caught it in the basin closer and then you walked it further away, then that's a hiluch that didn't need to be walked. But the point is that the actual walk the braisa continues walking it back closer to the mizbeach, that is hiluch shasarach l'halach. So not like we said that it's not sort of lahalik because you could have left the seder to begin with and you wouldn't have had to go out and go back in. Now we're saying even Rabbi Elazar agrees in this braita that the actual walking closer is something. Yeah, it's still a hillel. So therefore could be possible by a zohar, by a machshava or whatever. Amalei, so Rava answers him, okay, tanya, fine. If it says in a braita, then it says in a braita. In other words, and I concede to you. So what does that mean? We just said that it says in a braita. So therefore, I concede that that's what Rabbi Elazar holds. Now, actually, Zashi learns that what it means is, therefore, that it comes out then, based on this braita, that Rabbi Elazar and the Tanakhama of our Mishnah are not actually arguing. Rabbi Elazar is disagreeing with Rabbi Shimon, his father, that where Rabbi Shimon said that Hibuch Bechlal was not an avodah, and Rabbi Elazar is saying sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But he and the Chachamim learn Zashi.
Going forward, it is.
Yeah, according to Rabbi Elazar, when it's going forward, it is. When it's going backward, it's not. Whereas Rabbi Shimon would hold never. The Chachamim would agree with Rabbi Elazar that a halacha away from the Mizbeach is not considered a halacha. So therefore, when we're saying over here, when Rava was saying before that the Zohar bringing it closer would make it possible, that works according to both Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim.
Right.
Yes, the Rambam seems to learn not like that, because the Rambam learns somewhat differently over here, and which actually the Ravid asks on him, that basically it comes out from our Gemara over here, that the Rambam is passing like Rabbi Elazar, that it depends whether he's going closer or further away. The Rambam, the Mefoshim on the Rambam, may under the Ketzet Mishnah, for example, understand, the Rambam would say over here, that fine, we're saying that there is something in which Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim are agreeing, we're saying that.
And
they agree on it, but on the other hand, the Chachamim are still disagreeing on the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar are still disagreeing on something as far as the halacha, in particular the question of whether a zohar can passel it if he did any kind of halacha, whether closer or further away from the mizbeach, and therefore the Rambam duly passed like the Chachamim rather than like Rabbi Elazar.
Which is you were saying this version that Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim agree that forward would be halacha, backwards would not.
So what is it that Rambam says then? Here, let me see real quick. Let's see. So the Rambam would say then that if a zor, so what does he say over here? If the zor stood still with the carbon kosher, but if the zor walked in either direction, then it would be possible, says the Rambam.
And that's according
to the Chachamim, because he understands that Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim are arguing on this.
Right.
Are arguing on
this.
On the same direction. So that's it. So that's what Rambam learns that way. And in fact, the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam, because the Ravid understands the Or Gemara more like Rashi. That Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim are agreeing, and therefore it comes out that the Rambam
agrees.
Well, yeah, that they're agreeing on the direction.
Okay,
so now this next parak is going to continue with topics of how a korban can become possible. We are going to deal with machshava later, but first we're going to deal with some other things that apply to the koyin himself. Mishnah says, "Kol hazvachim shekiblu damim, any korbanos that the blood was received, or any of the later avodas, because it's thus kabbalah, but all the later avodas, that were done by Zor, a non-Koyan, Oinin, a Koyan whose relative died that day and hasn't been buried yet, Tvulyoim, a Koyan who toiled from his Tumah, but he didn't yet have Herav Shemesh, Mechusatiporim, or even he had a Herav Shemesh, but he still needs to bring a Korban, for example, a Zor or a Sora or various other ones, where they have to bring a Korban to complete their Tara, or Mechusa Begadim, or if he's missing some of the Begadim that he's supposed to be wearing. So a regular Koyan has less than four Begadim, a Koyan Gadol has less than eight. Shalom Rochas Yadayim Raglayim, and we're going to deal with in the Gemara where we know all of these and what the details are of each of them. Shalom Rochas Yadayim Raglayim, where he didn't wash his hands and feet from the Kiddur.
Before the
Avodah. We're going to deal with the details of that later on. Hands and feet, before he starts the day's Avodah. Oral, or if he's an oral, and it doesn't even have to mean, but, you know, as often in the Gemara, an oral doesn't mean that he delivers. An oral is not a zar, but it means that he has not a bris milah. So it doesn't happen now. An oral, very often in these kinds of halachas, doesn't mean that he doesn't want to have a bris milah. It means he would like to, but he can't medically because, for example, hemophilia or whatever, runs in his family, his brother has died, not bris milah, and therefore he's not supposed to have a bris milah.
An oral is not necessarily a
zar? An oral means a kohen who doesn't have a bris milah.
And that's not a zar?
No, it's a different psul. We're going to learn in the Gemara where we learn the psul from. Okay. Tomei, as is Tomei. Yoshev, or if he's sitting, as we said at the end of the previous parak, or if he's standing on Kalim, he has to stand directly on the floor. So if he's standing on something else, or Agave Behemo, he's standing on an animal, Agave Ragle Chavera, he's standing on somebody else's feet. Or in all those cases, possible. In all those cases, the Avodah is possible.
Were you allowed to stand on an animal inside the Bet HaMikdash?
Not necessarily, but the point is, even if he did, the carbon would be possible. Kibble the smoil, what if he received the blood holding the basin in his left hand? Possible. Rav Shimon says it's kosher, as we learned in the previous passage. All right. So now we're going to start going through where we know that each one of these ones makes the carbon possible. So starting with Zor Manola, where do we know that a Zor makes the carbon possible? Like this, the Tony Levi, because Levi taught a Braisa. The Pasuk is Gabriel Aaron Bell.
Levi
meaning is Levi, that's the Talmud of Rebbe.
Yeah.
Gabriel Aaron Bell Bonham, Lamer, take it out. Lamer is from a different Pasuk, or whatever. The Yinozrum of Kodshim Bnei Israel, so speak to Aaron and his sons that they should stay away from the Kodshim of Bnei Israel, the Gemara. So the simple meaning is that when they're Talmud, then they shouldn't be bringing Karbanos. But also, we can understand. First of all, we have to ask, Bnei Yisrael and Otimach. What is the Pasuk meaning to be Mamai if I say in the word Bnei Yisrael? So stay away from the Kodshim of Bnei Yisrael. Instead of the same, stay away from the Kodshim. Eleim alam Otim Noshim, are you going to tell me that it needs to exclude women, which sometimes we find, sometimes when the Pasuk is Bnei Yisrael and Zabka, the men, not the women. What do you mean? Korban Nasha Petum HaKorev. Are you allowed to bring a woman's korban when the korban is Tomei? Of course not. The same dinim applies to a man's or a woman's korban. Are you going to say that you're trying to exclude korbanos of goyim, that if a goy sends a korban to the Beis Mikdash, and then maybe you're allowed to bring it when you're tamei, maybe you're allowed to bring it when the kohen is tamei? No. Hashka, tzit by mirasa, consider. Even the tzit is not mirasa, does not, like this, you have a case when parts of a korban became tamei, and the dievet, if you brought the korban anyway, the korban is still valid, because the tzit on the kohen gadol's forehead is mechaper for it and allows that Hashem will accept the korban. But that does not work for a goy's korban. The Amamai, as we learn in a Braisa, or over the Kohen ben Beshergu ben Bemezid loivotza, we say with a goy's korban, whether the kohen did it Beshergu or Bemezid, the kohen, the tzit does not work to be mirasa, the tumah korban. So how can you bring it to tumah? Then you're going to have an invalid korban. The whole point that the tzitz works for is tumah. So Mela, with a yid korban, you would say that if you brought up the tumah, then b'diavad the tzitz is mirasa. The goyim themselves aren't tamei versus the korban became tamei. So the question is like this, right? The question is, by goyim, the tzitz is not mirasa even when the korban is tamei and the korban is tamei. How much more so, you shouldn't say, if the Kohen is Tomei, where he's not even allowed to bring a Yid's Korban, how much more so, you can't say that he should be allowed to bring a Goy's Korban, when he himself is Tomei. If you don't even have an option for the Korban, when it became Tomei, for the Sith to be Merase, in the case of a Goy's Korban, how much more so for Tomas Aguf, which doesn't even work for a Yid's Korban, certainly shouldn't work for a Goy. Okay. Ela Hakikama, so no, the Pasuk must mean like this. It means the fact that it says Bnei Yisrael on the Pasuk means we have to break it up. They, the Kohenim, should stay away from the Kodshim when they're Tomei. And in addition, Bnei Yisrael, meaning the Zorim, should also stay away so they don't make the Korban
regardless of
whether they're Tomei or Tomei. So we see from that that a Zor does the Avoid, it passes the Korban. And that's how we understand. Yeah, but he knows from the contrary, Bnei Yisrael v'lo yichal. Okay, that's one of them. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tane, in Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, they told a different thing. After the Kavach Chomer and Baal Mum, we can learn it by Kavach Chomer from a Baal Mum, from a Kohen who was a Baal Mum. Ma Baal Mum Sho'echo, Ma Dach, a Kohen who was a Baal Mum, where he does get to eat from the Korbanos, as we said in this week's parasha, like a Malikov, he cannot offer them. In Ovad Chilo, right, but yet if he does the Avoda, he is Mechalo, because it says in this week's parasha, Vale Chalo, Mechalo, right? Zor, Sheina Ocho, well, a Zor who doesn't get to eat from Kodshim, And it didn't shame of a tchilo. How much more so that if he did the avodah, it should be mechalva. Okay, the problem with that is mala bal mum can also be korek to makriv. Okay, but how can you compare a bal mum you have the same din applies to the korek, to the animal that's being brought to the korban, as the makriv that's to the person. Namely, neither one of them can have a mum. A korban with a mum is possible. A korek with a mum is possible. Whereas Zorus is not relevant. A korban by definition can't be a Zor. So therefore, so how do you know? Maybe Bal Mum is a different case. If he does the avodah, he's bechalal, not necessarily a Zor. Okay, the answer is Tomei Yechiyah. Fine, prove from the case of a Tomei. Prove from the case of a Tomei, where you don't have a similarity between the behemah and the makriv, because the behemah, while it's alive, is not able to become Tomei. So we see that just because, so it doesn't matter whether a soul applies to the animal as well as to the animal, the korev, as well as the korev and the makriv. So by the same logic, you don't have to say that Zorus would only pass if it applies to the animal as well.
Thank you for the
Tomei Yechiyah, prove from Tomei, because a korev is Tomei, passes the avodah, he's machal of it. On the other hand, the animal can't become Tomei. So by the same logic, no, there's no such thing as a Tomei animal. An animal, by definition, cannot become Tomei while it's alive.
Okay.
Animals are only able to
become carbon becomes tummy. What do
we mean the live animal. The live animal is not able to become tummy. A live animal is not a cobble tummy.
The carbon is once it's
chested. Once it's chested. Carbon means a din that applies to the animal. Tumma does not apply to the animal. So therefore we can say tumma applies to the carbon but not to the animal. And it's machalo. If the Korean Tommy does that, right? The same thing. Zoros applies to a person, doesn't apply to the animal. By the same logic, it can hassle the carbon if the person who did it was a Zor. Okay, the problem with that is Malatome Shekane Mitame. Yes, but a Tommy has a stringency in that he's able to make other people or other things Tommy. A Zor can't make other people Zor. The answer is Balmum. Go back to a Balmum, where Balmum can't make other people Balmum. So v'chodradin. So again, it goes back and forth. Loiri izekir izev, loiri izekir izev. Hatzad hashavashen. What do they have in common? Shemuz horin. Both of them are warned. The Torah warns a tomei not to do the avodah. A bal mum is also warned not to do the avodah. We have strukin for each one of them that they shouldn't do the avodah. V'im ovdu chilulu. And if they did the avodah, or not the zara, sorry, the tomei and the bal mum rather both have strukin that say that they can't do the avodah. And if they do, then they're mechalal it. Afani Obi Zor. Well then by that logic we can also bring in the Zor using the Sadashava, Shul Muzer, that he's warned, as we're gonna see in a second, where he's warned from, where is there the warning in the Torah that he shouldn't do the Avodah. And therefore being Mavat Khilo, therefore if he does the Avodah, then he's Machalo through this Mamma Sin. Through the Sadashava. Okay, so now the question is Manol on the Muzer. Fine, where do we see what's the pasuk that says that a Zor is warned? Now we have the limud before that Lady brought by breaking up the topic, the Yinoz Yom Yikodshe and B'nai Yisro V'lo Yichalav. But Tonad Reid Abishmol is not learning that way. So where is he getting it from? Ivi Yinozu, Ima V'Yinozu. Is he learning from this V'Yinozu that we quoted before, Levi's Potter? Then in that case, we don't need a Tzad HaShavah to learn that it's Mechal HaVod. Chilo V'Gufei, Ksidbe. It says right there, V'lo Yichalav. So you don't need a Tzad HaShavah to teach us that if he was Oved, he is Mechal. And we know it automatically in that topic. It's Tonad Reid. V'Yinozu Yikodshe B'nai Yisro V'lo Yichalav. Implying that if they don't, that if they see all do that word, they will be mechala. So Rav Tana Gvei Rav Shmuel is obviously not learning that way. Evidently, then they're learning it from the pasuk where it says a zor should not approach you. So therefore, in other words, a zor should not approach you. No, so we're not learning from Yinozru. We're learning from the zor leyikrav aleichem that a zor has an iftur to do the avodah. And we use the sadashava to say just like a tovay and a balbum also have an iftur, also have a warning not to do the avodah. And if they do, they're machalo. So it is also with a zor. The problem is ikalim nifrach. Fine, but we can slug up this sadashava in a different way. Malas sadashava shvam shekain lehutru babama. Yes, but you can shlug up. Neither a balmum nor a tummy is able to do the avodah in a bummer, in a private bummer. On the other hand, a zor is. The kohuna does not apply by a bummer. A zor can bring karbonas on a bummer, and in fact we find Shmuel, for example, with a levy, one time brought a korban on a bummer. You have other examples.
So Levi
is a zor as far as dinei kohuna. So we see that a zor can bring karbonas on a bummer, but a tummy and a balmum cannot. So how can you prepare it? How can you use it? It's not a Shabbat. No. The answer is, fine, you're right. Don't use, as the second part of the Sada Shabbat, don't use the Tomei, Ela Ema Oinen Yechiyah. Fine, but you can say the second part of the Sada Shabbat is an Oinen. an oinen is not allowed to do the avodah. An oinen is an oinen also is not allowed to do the avodah.
Right.
A kohen is an oinen is not allowed to do the avodah either. But on the other hand, there's nothing that tells us that he can't do the avodah by a bama, which actually the Gemara is going to take up that point soon, that whether he's also by a bama or not. But for the moment, we're assuming for the moment we're assuming that he is. That he's not. That he's,
just now we said that he was not.
We don't know. Let's, for purposes of the Sada Shava, let's assume that we can prove from the Oinen. Okay, so then Mala Oinen Shekin also the Meister. So then you're going to say, though, an Oinen has a stringency that he's also to eat Meister Sheni, whereas a Balmum and whereas a Balmum is not. The answer is Balmum, yes, yeah, fine. Prove from a Balmum, where, again, he can eat Meister Sheni, but on the other hand, he can't do the Avodah. So because Adin Lo Be'ez Ekevi's app, Sada Shava Shabran Shavu's Haran Cholop, again, an Oinen and a, if we go this way, so we leave out the Tomei, you're right, because we leave out the Tomei, we use for the Sada Shava the Balmum and the Oinen. Both of them are warned not to do the Avodah, and both of them, if they do, are Mechalot. So now we can bring in also the Zor. And you don't have to question what about a bomber, because an oinen, the pashtus, is able to do the avodah by a bomber. So the question is why? Hachinami lishlech? Why you should be able to slog it up the same way? Malat sada shava shvav became loyvot through the bomber. Why? You could argue the same sada shava, an oinen cannot do the avodah in the bomber. So the question is, well, that's what we have to figure out. Sort of Sama Bredirava asks on that objection, well, man lemal on the onin also the bama. So who says an onin is also to do the avodah by bama? Joma Shari the bama. Maybe he is allowed to. Because the Pasuk only says that, the Pasuk says, now how do we know b'chal that an onin is not allowed to do the avodah? Like this, because the Pasuk says in this week's parasha, a Kohen Gadol, when he's an onin, should not leave the Beis HaMikdash below Yechalo, because if he does the avodah, he's not b'chal. Well, listen. Let me explain. A Kohen Gadol, when he's an Oinen, should not leave the Beis HaMikdash, and if he stays in the Beis HaMikdash and does the Avodah, he is not Mechalo, the Lord Yechalo, implying a Kohen Hedyot who does the Avodah under such circumstances is Mechalo. But that's Min HaMikdash. Doesn't necessarily apply by a Bama. So who says that Mechalo, the issue of the soul of an Oinen, applies by a Bama? So the Masharshia says, you're right, you can't use that Sada Shava, but we can learn in a different way that a Zor is Tassel the Avodah, Machal the Avodah, if he does. Namely, ask your Kavachomer mid Yoshev. We will make a Kavachomer from the case of a person who sits and does the Avodah. Ma Yoshev Sha'oichel, Ma doch a person who sits. Now, he can eat from the korbanos, just because a person is allowed to eat the korbanos sitting. There's no particular thing that you have to eat the korbanos standing. Im ovad chilo, but if a person does the avodah when he's sitting, then he's a chalalit. Zor she'ena oichel. So again, a zor who doesn't eat korbanos, he's not allowed to eat kodshim, ena din she'ob shim ovad chilo. How much more so? If he does the avodah, he's a chalalit. Okay, the problem is, mala yoshev she'ken kosel le'edus. The problem is, but we find another case where a person sitting is possible for something. Namely, we learned in Sanhedrin that a person who's giving aiders has to stand. The answer is, Miyoshev Tamad Chacham. Fine, but we can prove from a case of a Tamad Chacham.
The case is aiders sitting.
We learned in Shavuos, not possible, but they're not supposed to be sitting when they give aiders. We learned in Shavuos. No, but that's not. Mali Yoshev became possible aiders, right? In other words, we're not supposed to accept aiders from him. We make him stand to give his aiders. We learn in Shavuos. V'am d'shnei ha'nashim. The answer is Miyoshev Taman Chacham. Yes, but we can prove it from the case of a Taman Chacham, where we said there that Beis Din does honor him and allows him to sit. So therefore, you have a case where aiders is kosher when he's sitting. Okay, the question is, Mal Hashem Yoshev Shekin Posoleidus. Fine, but the fact is, you have the concept of sitting is Posoleidus. Fine, you have an exception for a Tamar Chacham, but you have the concept of sitting, Posoleidus for Eidus. So therefore, we should say that you can't prove anything from it as far as the Zohar. The answer is Shein Yoshev Leiparach. That's not a serious objection. Okay, there's a concept of a Yoshev. The fact is that you have a Tamar Chacham is able to sit and give Eidus. So we're not concerned about the fact that sometimes you have a kosher and sometimes it's possible. The point is that we still can use the Kavach HaOmer to say that generally a Yoshev is possible Eidus, and therefore how much more so a Zohar should be possible Eidus. You have the exception of a Kavach HaOmer? Okay, you have the exception, but in general, yeah. Okay. What about the Intim Salam of Parish, or even you could argue, fine, you want to say that you slog up the Kavach HaOmer with that. Fine, asking the Yosha or Machodah Mahana. Fine, we can learn it by a Sada Shava between sitting and one of the other ones, the Tome, the Balmum, or the Onion that we discussed before. By pairing one of them together with Yosha, you have a valid Sada Shava. So then the only problem is we were asking, what about all the other ones apostle by a Bama? So now we have to say, if we're going to bring in Yosher, implies that we're saying sitting is kosher to do the avodah by a bomber. So we Yosher to kosher by a bomber with no one. Taka, where do we know that, that sitting by a bomber does not pass the avodah? The answer is, Amakra, Lama, the Pnei Hashem, the Shor said, because the Pasuk, where do we learn the concept they have to stand? Because the Pasuk says that the Kohenim are to stand in front of Hashem to serve him, implying the Pnei Hashem, the Pnei Bomber, only when they're doing it in front of Hashem, meaning that it's Mikdash, not by a bomber. So by a bama, sitting would be kosher, and therefore we have a valid Sada Shava. A Yoshev is able to sit, and if he sits, he passes Avoda. A Tome, or an Onen, or Balmum, they pass the Avoda. They're all also to do it, and they pass the Avoda. Therefore, we can bring in from a Sada Shava, we can bring in the Zohar as well. So that's it. So that's it. That's how we know that the Zohar passes. That's how we know the Zohar passes Avoda if he does.
Either
according to Levi from the Limud from Bnei Yisrael v'lo Yichalalu by breaking up the pasuk, or from Tanan Veda Bishmal ultimately because we put together a Sada Shava using Yoshev and one of the other stories.